We're going to start reading from verse 1. Acts 10, verse 1 says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.' And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. Verse 8, so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. And we thank you, Lord, that this is a pivotal moment, a pivotal chapter here in the book of Acts and in the working of the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Messiah, his work that he had done to secure our eternal salvation as he died on the cross for all our sins. And we see now that Gentiles, even like Cornelius, and even for us today, here in Queens, New York City in 2021, that the gospel message can go out to us. And help us to learn this, not just to read this as a historical document, but to see these principles in your plan unfold before our eyes, Lord. So please help us to learn this word. And also, God, we do ask that you would encourage each and one of, every one of our hearts, Lord, either for those that are listening right now online or the recording later on, or for us here on site, Father. Oh, please be the God of all comfort. Comfort and fill our hearts. Encourage us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So I'm going to open up by sharing with you a little bit about the Jewish temple and what was going on at that time of this story in Acts chapter 10. This is an important chapter in the Bible because we see a point in time where now the gospel message, the good news of salvation through Jesus Messiah, is changing from just being solely this good news of salvation to the Jews, from the Jews themselves — Jesus himself was a Jew, obviously — to the Jews, but also spreading further, just as Jesus had prophesied. And so we see this here in this book that we call Acts in chapter 10. And can we go to the next slide, please, JP? So I want to show you a picture of the temple. I didn't make this picture, obviously. I can't draw that good. But this is a picture of the temple at the time of Jesus Messiah, and even the one that was in existence in Acts chapter 10 with this guy we call Cornelius. Because we learn that he was a devout man, someone that feared God, even with his whole household. He surely would have maybe even visited, but would surely have known about this. And I want you to kind of take a walk with me in the past, if we could, as we survey this story. Now, the temple that existed at the time of Christ Jesus, you know, roughly 2,000 years ago, we need to know that this was not a temple that was open to all people. There was an outer courtyard. You'll hear this described in the Bible, and this is the area where Jesus did a lot of teaching. People would even walk through the temple area. But anybody and everybody was pretty much allowed to come in there. That was the outer courtyard area, as you see here on the display, called the Court of Gentiles. For Gentiles, by the way, anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile, including who? Me and you, right? So the Gentiles were allowed to come that far, but that's it. Now, this is the place known on the planet, and the only one, that this is where the presence of God would be in the house of God at certain moments of time. So if you want to get close to God, if you want to get close to heaven on earth, so to speak, this was it. Prior to Christ dying on the cross, this is the only place. This is why even Matt Redman's song, "Better Is One Day in Your House," you know that song? It's depicting the scriptures. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Right? Better be one day there than thousands elsewhere. So that's as far as the Gentiles, including Cornelius and every single non-Jew, could get. That's it. You mean I can't go into the place of the presence of God? No, you could not. Even on the penalty, the pain of death, you could not go past this wall. You see here in the red, there's an area called the Soreg, the middle wall of separation. We'll get to that in a bit. That's as far as every Gentile could get. And you sit there and go, excuse me? In today's day and age, we talk about inclusion and exclusion. That's as far as you could get as a Gentile, which basically would be everybody here today. And there was a wall that you see in that little rectangular. My mind was kind of skipping there. Don't get old. You forget words. So there's a wall that you would call the Soreg, or middle wall of separation. The Jews would know that you cannot go past this, including the Gentiles. There were signs that were placed up. Do not pass this. Do not come closer on the pain of what? Death. And that was written actually in different languages. Okay. Is it working there? There we go. Gracias. All right. So Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to pick up here at verse 11. And it says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. So the Jews, the circumcised, will call the Gentiles the uncircumcised. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to this, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Listen to this in verse 14. And as you hear this, I want you to depict the temple, because this is exactly what Paul was writing about. And many of us Gentile Christians in America get this wrong. Paul understood what this was, and I tell you, I bet Cornelius certainly understood this. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. I'm going to say that again. Has broken down the middle wall of separation. What is that, Drew? Good question. When Paul was writing that, he was thinking about what we call the Soreg, the middle wall of separation. This does not make sense unless you understand the culture and the context of the time. That Paul is writing, there is a wall that separated between where the Jews could go and the Gentiles. The Jews knew, hey, this is safety here. You cannot go past that wall, though, on the pain of death. Imagine being a Gentile like Cornelius. You have a love for God. You just have no way to access him or get close to him. And this is a story in Acts chapter 10 where God had grace and mercy and didn't wait for him to be born a physical Jew, because that would be impossible. There's no reincarnation. Instead, God went to him and he showed him an angel. Let's continue on. Verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. All right, we can come back to that perhaps later on. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. I wanted to open up by reading that and showing you a picture of the temple, because as we study the life of this guy, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, he would have known about this. And as he was someone that wanted to get close to not one of Rome's many gods, but the one and only God, this God of the Bible, the God of the Jews, he would have known about this. I bet he would have thought, I wish I could go past that. I wish I could have been born a Jewish man. I wish I could have been born someone of the tribe of Levi. I wish I could have been someone that could be a priest. I just want a taste of the presence of God. And can I say, as we study this chapter, Acts chapter 10, we see a beautiful picture, though, of someone who's, dare I say, more zealous than Simon Peter himself. and probably more zealous for God than you and I today. Praying constantly, giving alms. Think about that. So he's given of his finances to people that weren't his, for a God that he grew up not knowing. And you and I, all we got to do is turn and open our Bible, ask one another. But this guy, he was living on the outside, and God had much grace and mercy with him to reveal himself to him. So this guy Cornelius, let's pick back up. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. We find that this is an important chapter because the gospel is now starting to include not only Jews, but also Gentiles. And take note of this too, because as Peter is now one of the main leaders, if not the main leader of the early church, Peter had to acknowledge this guy and had to be involved here. Why? Because a short while later on, remember, we just saw someone else get saved recently, Saul of Tarsus, who became who later on? Paul the Apostle. Later on in the book of Acts, as Peter kind of fades a little bit, and then Paul comes now into view, Paul becomes the main leader in the early church. And Paul was the apostle to who? Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. This is a pivotal moment right now with the gospel message. So this guy Cornelius, he was a Roman Gentile. His occupation was as a centurion. He's part of the Italian regiment, as we learn here in verse 1. He was a devout man, we're told. This tells us he was godly. If you look at the original word, you can be devout about a bunch of things. Some guys get devout about football or sports. This guy was devout about God. And that meant something. To the Jews, you'd think, oh, that's average. But for a Roman, a Gentile, you'd think, which God? They've got a lot of gods. But he was devout. He was godly and feared the God of the Bible. He feared God with all his household, and he gave alms generously to the people. Alms speaks of charity or donation. And look at this. Prayed to God always. Verse 2. We're not going to take a survey here, but I'll tell you, I bet not just with us today, but also with Peter, Simon Peter himself, this guy was more zealous for God than Peter. So what does that teach us? Good works don't save you. The gospel message does. Amen? And that's what Peter needed to do. He needed to share with this guy. So verse 3 tells us it was the ninth hour. If you take it from 6 a.m. in the morning, add 9 hours. Let's say 3 p.m. during the day. The time of the evening sacrifice. This guy was praying to God. We're getting indications here. This guy understood Judaism. Because the hours of prayer for the Jews for the day, you say, are in the morning, time of the morning sacrifice, 9 a.m., noontime, and 3 p.m. The same three times you see Christ talking or praying, or speaking as he's dying on the cross. So 3 p.m., he's praying at this time. We learn that in verse 30. Let's pick back up at verse 9. But JP, well, Paul, do you mind clicking to the next one? I want to see a map here. Just to give us a little bit of context. All right, let's start reading at verse 9. We're going to pick up now back in chapter 10, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Keep in mind, Peter knew nothing of the angel and the vision that was given to this guy, Cornelius. Verse 10, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." By the way, if Jesus is Lord, do you tell him no? No. Isn't that interesting? "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Verse 16 says, "This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again." So when was he praying? Verse 9, we're told that this is now the sixth hour. Again, take it from 6 a.m., noontime. He's up there probably in the hot sun. The house was back there at that time. They'd be flat on top, so he'd be standing up there, probably looking in the sky. "Oh, man, I'm getting hungry." And now God's given him a vision. He's rocking his world, man. Three times. Some ask, why three times? Well, maybe he's a knucklehead like me, and God's got to keep drilling it in. God got to do that with you? Perhaps, right? So Peter gets a vision, and in it, in this vision, Jesus is communicating to Peter that Jesus is about to cleanse Gentiles. I love how God does this, because he's got to prep Peter's heart, because something that's about to happen just minutes later. Let's continue reading on. Verse 17, by the way, in the map here, there's Caesarea, and then about 30, oh, thank you, and about 30 miles south, look at it, they're like on the coast too, would have been like a nice journey, is Joppa, where Simon Peter is. Let's get back to this in verse 17. Acts 10, verse 17 says, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you.'" By the way, side note, don't believe it if people say today that the Holy Spirit can't speak to you, that God can't speak to you. Okay, God's not dead. Not just like the movie, God's not dead. He lives within you. What are you going to do, tell him to shut up? No. He'll tell us to be quiet. So God himself can speak and does speak. This is one of many, many indications in the book of Acts that God can speak to you and I today. This is just one of them. Again, verse 19, "Behold, three men are seeking you." Crazy, right? "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Who sent them? Who's speaking to him? Look at this in verse 20, or verse 19. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. God the Spirit, third person in the Holy Trinity. Who sent them? The Holy Spirit. Okay, continue on. Verse 21, "Then Peter went down to the men who had sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?'" You know, I ponder what Peter was thinking. Put yourself in his shoes too. You'd be like pretty curious, right? Well, that was a pretty weird thing there, Lord. Okay, you showed me this vision three times. I guess I'm a knucklehead. You know, it takes me a while for it to settle in. And I'm pretty hungry, getting a little woozy-headed. Was that a vision or is that from you, right? I mean, that's practical reality. And then the Holy Spirit speaking to him. Now think about that. It wasn't a physical person that came. How does God the Spirit speak to us internally, right? Still small voice, 1 Kings 19. He's trying to compare notes with that. Check things out, okay? Just because you feel like it doesn't mean that's of God. Right? Compare, especially with God's word. "Yes, I am him whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God." Now, this would have rocked Peter's world if he would have heard this before God gave him the vision, wouldn't it? A just Gentile, a centurion who fears God? They wouldn't have believed that. Neither would Peter. "One who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Imagine yourself like Peter again. What would you think? Would you well up with pride like, an angel told you about me? Yes. God's got a good PR system. Good marketing. Don't know. I'd still be curious. Who here would be curious? Right? You'd be sitting there like trying to check notes. It's like, I think God just told me what you're telling me. That is wild, man. Pretty cool. Okay? "By a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Verse 23 says, "Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Later on, we learned there was six other Jewish men that accompanied him. Verse 24, let me just tell you this. Peter's pondering this vision, okay? The men arrive. Think about this. The men are arriving at the time he's pondering. He's like, what's going on? You know, some of us take some time to process with God, right? I do. Sometimes I take weeks to process something. This guy was given moments, maybe minutes. Wow, I'm hungry, but what was that? You know, the creepy crawly things, four-footed creatures. We're talking about this at home. Like, what kind of creatures do you think he would have seen that he said, I'm not going to eat that, God? Maybe pigs, right? Gentiles wouldn't eat pigs. Shellfish, shrimp, who knows? Octopus. Bats, maybe. Who knows? Oh, boy. I don't go that far. Crickets, maybe. Okay. So the Spirit of God spoke to Peter, telling him, behold, three men are seeking you. So he's probably comparing notes with them. Let's just continue on. Verse 24, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. This lets you know. See, the Jews would not worship another human being, not another man. This guy, you can't blame him for it. He didn't know anything about this God. He just had a love for him. But now he's going to start to meet him. Verse 26, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, did Peter figure that out on his own? No, it's because the Lord Jesus gave him this vision and had to prep him, had to prepare him, sharing with him that, hey, I'm going to cleanse Gentiles. Get it through your thick skull, Peter. I'm going to cleanse Gentiles, and I'm going to need you to be on board with this. Verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? And check this out, verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, which again was 3 p.m., I prayed in my house. So this lets us know he was in prayer at that time. Folks, can the Lord speak to you in your times of prayer? Yeah, he can. Whether Peter or Cornelius. And he can actually confirm things on both sides, can't he? He's done that with me and my wife. We got married and with many things. And he does that oftentimes. Allow him to. Some might say he speaks in stereo. Allow him to do that. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now, quick pause here as we go forward. Drew, you said that this guy was probably more zealous. Cornelius, a Roman Gentile centurion, maybe more zealous for God than Peter himself. Let me share with you a little bit about this before we go on. Verse 32, God was, he's basically revealing what's going on with Peter. Now, and to a Gentile, this would have been, at this point, I would bet, embarrassing. Why? Because keep in mind, for Jewish people, especially someone like Simon Peter, he may have been hiding out in this guy, Simon the Tanner's house. How do you know that? What is a tanner? Tanner is not his last name. What's a tanner? Someone that works with leather, which is what? Dead things, dead animals. Jewish men were not supposed to be near something like that. So Simon Peter was living at this guy Simon the Tanner's house. This might have been something where Peter had to humble himself. It's like, ooh, God revealed to you I'm going to be hiding out or living in this guy Simon the Tanner's house. Perhaps he was hiding. Jewish men were not supposed to be near dead things. Certainly not living in a tanner's house. You'd have like dead animals and their hides all hanging up, stinky, flies all around. For a Jewish man, what would they be thinking? Unclean, unclean. And God was outing him. He's hiding over there. I think that's funny. Verse 32, let's go on. He's lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So Cornelius relays these things to Peter, and a couple of things to note, again, that Cornelius was not only a God-fearing man, but this might have been a little embarrassing for Peter. Perhaps God used this even to humble Peter's heart. He outed him. This guy's hiding in Simon the Tanner's house. Cornelius wouldn't have thought much of that, but I'm sure Peter would be like, yeah, okay, I know, shouldn't have been there. And that's where he went to go get him. And now he comes to him about 30 miles or so south, or 30 miles or so north, he had to go to Caesarea, where Cornelius was. And perhaps, I'd venture to guess, that perhaps Simon Peter was realizing, this guy's more zealous for you, God, than I am. And maybe Peter, because we think of him as someone kind of proud and prideful a bit, right? I mean, he's human. Empowered by the Spirit of God from Acts chapter 2, but eight chapters later, I'm sure that he probably would have been like you and me. Perhaps God had to keep him humble there so that he could be open to minister to Gentiles. Because prior to this, he wouldn't want to even be caught dead speaking to Gentiles. But he saw the Master Jesus actually reach out to Gentiles. Again, good behaviors aren't good enough to save anybody. Good behaviors cannot save Cornelius, right? Only the gospel message, only the good news of salvation through Jesus Messiah. His work as he died on the cross for you and I, resurrected for you as well as Cornelius. All right, let's continue on. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. And we are all witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that in his name, whoever believes in him will receive, notice he says, remission of sins. Now remission means forgiveness. It's a word that speaks of, quote, release from bondage or imprisonment. And all of us have been and felt in bondage to sin. And Christ Jesus set us free. Amen? Only Jesus Christ can give us, even as it says in verse 43, remission of sins. Let's continue to close out the chapter. While Peter was still speaking these words, look, notice this, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Now these are Gentiles. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. So there's Peter, and there's six others that were with them that were also Jews. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So we're going to close out here, and we'll have a time where we could partake of communion. Typically every first Sunday we partake of communion, but we had to shift it back because of baptism and other things. But as we look at in the scriptures here, maybe there's someone here. Maybe it's you, I'm not sure. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I need forgiveness of sins. I need to have prayer for that. We want to be able to pray for you. Or maybe you're thinking, like these are given, notice in verse 30 or 45, they're given the gift of the Holy Spirit that was poured out to the Gentiles. Maybe you want to be prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. If that's nobody, that's okay. All I could do is cast the net and see. But maybe someone here wants prayer for that, or maybe for both. I'm going to close with a general word of prayer. And as we see this chapter, it's a glorious chapter in the Bible because it shows us and it depicts that the gospel message is now turning from not just only to the Jew, for the Jews, but now to the Gentiles. That Jesus declared that, hey, I have some that are not of this flock. I'm going to go and get them. I'm greatly paraphrasing that. I'm going to get them. They're going to be one in this flock with me. So Jesus is the good shepherd. And what he prophesied in John's gospel, Peter is now seeing right before his eyes. And I bet this would have blown away Peter. It certainly did with Peter as well as the six that were, the other Jews that were with him. Like, because they saw an outward manifestation of the grace of God that had fallen upon them. They got saved, and then right now, boom, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were being manifest right there. So if you want prayer for that, I want to be able to pray for you as well. But we're going to go ahead and close with a word of prayer. We'll pray for anybody that wants prayer, and then we'll partake of communion. So Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a chapter like this in your word. Thank you, God, for someone like Cornelius who didn't even know you. He was zealous. He was God-fearing, we're told, with he and his whole household. But he did not even know the good news of salvation through Jesus Messiah, the fact that we are sinners, and Jesus, you died for our sins. And we simply need to believe and receive and turn away from our sins. And then we can have this remission, this forgiveness of sins that only comes through you. Help us to humble our hearts and to keep receiving that, the fact that you died for us, and also the fact that you died not just for us, but also for people like Cornelius and other guys and gals as well, and for us here today, Lord. So help us to share and preach this good news of salvation through Jesus Messiah, his work that he had done on the cross. And we thank you, God, that the faith of someone like Simon Peter, that he would go forth and that he would open his mouth and heart and share this good news. Empower us, God, that there are some here that I'm sure want to share this good news, this gospel message to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and the world at large. But we ask for your empowerment because we need your empowerment to do so. Equip us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.